The question today is, what is man's responsibility in salvation? We've always stated that salvation is of the Lord, and that is true. But man still has a responsibility. So just what is that responsibility? Now, Jesus told the multitudes in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, but he said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so he said to seek the kingdom. Now, seeking the kingdom, same as seeking the Lord Jesus, because he is the king of the kingdom. So therefore, he told the multitudes, and by the way, they were lost, and he told them to seek. And so therefore, the man's responsibility is to seek the Lord Jesus. It means to seek in order to find. That's what the word means. It means to desire, to crave. Now, most preachers will tell you that a lost man doesn't seek God. And it's true, the Bible says that in Romans 3:11, but you've got to rightly divide the Scripture. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you've got to rightly divide and see what Romans chapter 3, verse number 11 is saying when it says no man seeks after God. That means natural man in himself does not seek after God. But if the Lord told the lost to seek him in Matthew 6:33, then a person needs to seek the Lord, and he can seek the Lord, because the Lord would not tell you to do something that you can't do. Now, I know you can't in your own power, but the Lord enables you if you'll obey the light that he's given you. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. So the responsibility of man is to seek the Lord. And I guess we could say that's equivalent to coming in the Scripture. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Cometh to him, that's a continuous action verb. And in other words, it means that you're on your path coming to the Lord. But you've got to believe he is. You've got to have some intellectual faith before you'll ever have a seeking faith. And therefore, the responsibility is to seek the Lord, which is equivalent to coming. Now, there's an obstacle. There's more than one, but there's an obstacle in seeking the Lord, or in fulfilling your responsibility. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he told them to search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. In other words, Jesus said to them, you will not come that you might have life. Now, it's not an easy matter to come to the Lord, as most people try to think and try to tell you. As they think about it, in John 6:44, he said, in fact, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So it's not an easy matter. In fact, coming to the Lord is an impossible act. In other words, it's an impossible act to a person who's a fallen, depraved creature, unless and until divine power enables him to come. Therefore, every man has an obstacle. And that obstacle is the total inability of a natural man to meet his responsibility because of his corrupt nature. The reason for his total inability is due to his fall. The fall, it was passed on to every man in Adam. And man doesn't realize the terrible havoc that that fall produced. Therefore, it's impossible for any man to come or to seek the Lord until the Spirit of God awakens him. Now, the fall made havoc of man and brought three things inside. In essence, there's complete darkness of man's understanding. There's complete corruption of man's affections. And there's total perversity of man's will. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 12 said, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In other words, a threefold cord is not quickly broken when it comes to seeking the Lord. Complete darkness of man's understanding, complete corruption of man's affection, total perversity of man's will. Yet before a person will be saved, he must seek the Lord in all three areas: understanding, affections, and will. So let's deal with seeking with your understanding. The Bible says in John 6:45, which by the way is right after where he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Then verse 45 of John 6 said, "It is written in the prophets," that's the Old Testament scripture, "and they shall be all taught of God." In other words, every man's taught of God, that in light of creation, in light of conscience, reveals that there's a God. Bible said in John 1:9, "There's a light that lighteth up every man. Therefore, every man is responsible if he's reached the knowledge of accountability." So we must seek the Lord in our understanding, because he said, "Every man therefore that hath heard," and that's not enough to hear, but "hath learned of the Father cometh to me." The word "learn" there means to understand. In other words, if you've got some understanding, you begin to seek the Lord. You cometh to him. A continuous action verb, it means along the path of understanding. And for instance, the parable of the sower. And by the way, the parable of the sower, there's only one of the four that were saved. And that was the good ground hearers. And the Bible said in Matthew 13, I believe it's verse 23, that those on the good ground understandeth. They had understanding. They were the only ones who had understanding, and they were the only ones who saved. So there's some things you've got to understand before you're saved, and you must seek the Lord in your understanding. Now, to do that, that requires some knowledge about sin, judgment, and righteousness of Christ. In other words, and by the way, that's only come from the preached word. And Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Thus, there's a human instrument required to cross one's path. Because how can a man call unless he's heard? How can he, Romans chapter 10, 13 said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then he asked the question, how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear unless the preacher, there come a preacher across his path, someone, a human instrument across his path? And how can they preach except they be sent? God has to send them across their path. And it not only takes just a human instrument, but it takes a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost for a person to have understanding. You cannot muster up understanding. There's a verse said, "Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth." You learn all about the knowledge and have a bunch of facts at hand, but it's one thing to know something and to understand it. And you must have understanding, and you must seek in with your understanding. And that understanding's got to be in your heart, not just in your head. Well, how do you know if it's in your heart? Well, if the gospel comes, you know it's in your heart by the effect of the gospel. In other words, the Holy Ghost made the word more than facts, more than revelation. It made it a reality. It made it a heart experience. That's why he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "Our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance." So a person to meet his responsibility must seek the Lord with his understanding. But the obstacle is, of course, there's complete darkness of man's understanding. So it takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to bring a man to understand enough to seek the Lord. And the second thing, you must seek the Lord with your affections. In other words, and to do that, you must first be awakened. When you're awakened and understanding comes, no matter how little it may seem, then the heart's drawn unto Christ with a tender desire for him. Just him. I want him for who he is, not just what he can do for me. And that's more than just believing, by the way, even though you must believe, but you've got to love. There's many scriptures that deal with loving the Lord, but one we can quote to you, James chapter 1, verse number 12. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So there's got to be some love involved. And somebody said, well, a man can't love that's not yet saved with the agape kind of love. Well, I've got news for you. There was a woman who came and anointed Jesus' feet, and the Pharisees rebuked Jesus for letting her do that. If you'd just known what kind of a sinner she was, you wouldn't have let her come. But when Jesus got through talking to them, he said, "This woman hath loved much." And he used the word agape, the God kind of love that was placed in the heart of this person who was not yet saved. God did that. When she was awakened. And therefore, that love began to stir inside. God put that in there. And God does that for you and causes you to desire the Lord and love him even with a God kind of love. Oh, that's God's work in your heart that does that. And so therefore, you've got, and by the way, he told that woman there that thy sins be forgiven thee. So she was not yet saved at that point in time. And yet the Bible says she hath loved much. Well, you realize to do that, you've got to be awakened. Romans 5, 6 said, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The word without strength is the same word where we get our word anesthesia, which means if we're under anesthesia for an operation, we have no bodily conscience to the world. Our senses are numb, or they're dead. We have no touch, no feel, of course, that's touch, and no hearing, no sight, and no smell, and whatever the fifth one was. I lose count of that right now, but it's five senses of the body. And you lose that when you're under the anesthesia for an operation. And just as man is without strength, sin is the anesthesia of the spirit, and you have no consciousness toward God in that condition, and therefore you must be awakened to have your affections stirred, or you'll never seek the Lord, and that takes drawing. John 6:44 again, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So you've got to be drawn by the cords of love, awakened and drawn, in other words, but man makes excuses, and he said, I can't come. For instance, the parable of the Great Supper, they make excuses, they wouldn't come. So therefore, God's got to awaken you, he's got to stir you, he's got to draw you, and he's got to open your heart. You can't do it. The knob's not on the inside for you to open. In the book of Acts 16, the Bible says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. And your heart's got to be open, and God's got to do that. And then you've got to have a love of truth, not just a love for truth. There's a difference. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. In other words, love for truth is a natural love, and not spiritual. But the love of truth is a spiritual. It's a work of God inside. So it's only when understanding comes by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that one's affection can be stirred, and thereby they're enabled to seek. You see, the affection, the understanding is obstacle, because your understanding is complete darkness of man's understanding in his natural state. There's complete corruption of man's affections, and there's a total perversity of man's will. Yet, all you must seek to meet your responsibility, you must seek him with your understanding, with your affection, and with your will. I'll continue this in a later time, and in part two of just what is man's responsibility, or what is man's responsibility in salvation. May the Lord help us today. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.